It sounds like a live action version of Finding Nemo, but this was real. A man scooped into the mouth of a whale.
This morning, a kayaker lucky to be alive after being swallowed up whole by a humpback whale. Watch again. The massive mammal breaching the water and quickly dragging the man under. Adrian Simancas was out kayaking with his dad off the coast of Chile on Saturday when the whale engulfed him and his boat. Seconds later, though, letting him go.
Hey!
Adrian appearing unharmed, his father in a nearby kayak capturing the terrifying moment, telling his son to stay calm. The two reconnecting in the water, allowing Adrian to grab onto his father's kayak, then racing back to shore.
Cuando pensé que había muerto.
We're in the fourth week of a sermon series where we are reading through the book of Jonah. If you have your Bibles, please open up with me to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. We'll also have the verses on the screen for you. And we will be reading from the ESV, if you're looking for the version to follow along on a mobile device, the English Standard Version. Verse 17 of chapter 1 says, "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord.' And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." We've been reading through the book of Jonah. We've seen how God has commanded Jonah to go preach to the people of Nineveh that they might repent and be saved. And instead of following God's commands, we've seen Jonah do the exact opposite. He's bought a ticket in the opposite direction, going as far and as fast as he can from where God had commanded him to go. And he is on a ship fleeing, running from the presence of God. And God loves Jonah too much to see him miss out on the adventure that God had planned for Jonah. God loves Jonah too much to see him miss out on the blessings of following him. And so God begins to bring discipline into Jonah's life to get his attention so that Jonah turns back to God. And he sends a great storm on the ship. But that's not enough for Jonah. He's too stubborn. He does not repent and turn back. And so more discipline comes into his life. And it is the hand and the will of God for the sailors on that ship then to take Jonah and to throw him over the side of the ship into the ocean. And that is where we pick up today's story, with Jonah sinking into the water, facing certain death. And that's the context of the verse we read at the end of chapter 1, verse 17. "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Next week, we're going to actually read the biggest miracle in the book of Jonah. Today, we're reading the second biggest miracle in the book of Jonah. And Jonah has a change of heart after he is pitched over the side and begins to drown. He has a change of heart and finally calls out to the Lord. And it's at that moment that the Lord answers his prayer and saves him from drowning by sending a great fish to deliver Jonah. And the Bible tells us that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish. And the Bible tells us that happened. And is that even possible? Is that even possible? And Christians, we see videos that make the rounds or hear stories, and this video has made the rounds lately of this man being swallowed for just a brief few seconds by a whale. And there's other stories that Christians will point to and say, yeah, see, it's possible. There's a story from 2021 about a man named Michael Packard, who was a lobster diver off the shores of Massachusetts, who was going down to pull lobsters off of the sandy shores, and He was swallowed by a humpback whale, and he estimates that he spent about 30 to 40 seconds in the mouth of the whale. And he suffered a lot of soft tissue damage, but after a stay in the hospital, he was just fine. And the most famous story happened in 1891, and this one has been repeated in many, many publications about a man named James Bartley, who was on a ship called the Star of the East, which was hunting a whale. And the whale smashed the ship. Its crew was dispersed. 15 of them, or most of them, were saved. Two of them went missing. And they estimated that James Bartley was swallowed by the whale and then stayed in his belly for 15 hours before another whaling ship came along and captured the whale and saw that there was contents of its stomach and cut open its stomach, and there popped out James Bartley, or so the story goes. But it's hard to verify. The story is from 1891, and critics say that the Star of the East was actually not a whaling ship, and there was no James Bartley on its crew manifest. And so Christians, we can point to these things and say, look, it's possible, but scientists would tell us it's not possible to live if you are in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. And I would actually say that the Bible would completely agree with scientists. It is totally impossible for this story to have happened. It is not possible. And Christians should know that, because the point of this story is not that it's possible. The story that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. It is natural to die if you've been swallowed by a whale. That's what's natural. And so praise the Lord for his power, for it's supernatural for the Lord to use a fish in this situation, which would normally cause death, and instead use it to bring life. What power we have in God. And God has his power for Jonah. And God has his power for you. And here we read about the experience of having an answered prayer. Jonah gives it to us firsthand at the beginning of chapter 2. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. And here Jonah says in verse 2 that it was after he got thrown into the water and that he sunk down, that he then called out. And Jonah does finally what he refused to do. In chapter 1, verse 6, he refused to do it when God sent the storm. And the captain even came to Jonah. He said, cry out to God, turn back to him. And Jonah would not. Jonah does in chapter 2, verse 2, what he refused to do in chapter 1, verse 11, when the storm worsened. And even the sailors came to him and said, what are we supposed to do then to calm this storm? Jonah refused to call out and say, I will repent and follow him, and that will bring the calm. Finally, Jonah repents, and he has a change of heart, and he calls out to the Lord, and it took until his last breath for him to do so. That is how stubborn Jonah was, how rebellious Jonah was. But in the end, Jonah does cry out to the Lord in faith. It took him till the last second. But he cried out to the Lord in faith, and God is faithful to save. When we call out to the Lord in faith, he will save us. That's the first thing as we look through this passage that I'm reminded of in the book of Jonah that I need to remember and apply to my life. If I call out to the Lord in faith, he will save me. God saved Jonah. And God will save you. And what are you going through that you need to call out to the Lord in faith? When we do, he will save us. And in verse 3, after Jonah talks about calling out, he talks about how it was God's plan. All of this was God's hand working in his life. God was working in Jonah's life, and God is working in yours. Even though the sailors were the ones to grab him up, it was the sailors' hands that grabbed him and threw him over. Jonah sees that it was the hand of God. In verse 3, Jonah tells God, "You threw me over the side." And even the sailors, as they're going through this, they recognize that they're doing the Lord's will. As they're seeking God, these sailors, in chapter 1, verse 14, they hear the Lord calling them that it's his will for them to grab him and throw Jonah over. And they're like, "We can't do that." So they row hard. They say, eventually they submit. They say, "Fine, Lord." And in verse 14, at the end, it says, "Lord, you have done as it has pleased you." They recognize that it's God who's doing this. And God worked in Jonah's life through the events of his life. And God works in the events of ours. And he works in the events of yours. And do you see God's hand? And following Jesus is not just a metaphor. As believers, he will be leading us. He will be. And we'll be having these things happen in our lives that God wants to use to grow us in faith. So often when I'm suffering, I think, "God, you must have made a mistake." But God knows everything. He's good in everything that he brings into our life. He's good in everything that he allows. And whether you're experiencing something that is the discipline of the Lord, as your refusal to follow his commands, or if you're suffering because someone else has refused to follow those commands and it's beyond your control, whatever we're going through, Jesus leads the believer. And he leads us so we can follow him. And as believers, we should know that. There's a destination, there's a journey that we're going through, and God is looking to work. And can you see that in your life? It's not easy. A lot of times it takes a lot of prayer, a lot of reading God's word, a lot of meditating on the word of God. The sailors and Jonah, as they're going through it, they struggle through it, but God leads them. And Jonah recognizes that what he's going through is God's plan. God had a plan for Jonah. It's not just Jonah. God has a plan for you. And if you've lost sight of that in your life, then the fact that you're here is not a coincidence. This is God's plan to remind you so that you can start thinking again about where Jesus is leading you and how you need to follow him. God reveals that to the sailors. He reveals that to Jonah. He will reveal that to you. And may God bless you with that. Jonah recognizes it's because of his sins that he's been disciplined, and that verse 12 of chapter 1, Jonah says, "I know it's because of me that this storm has come upon you." And in verse 4, Jonah recognizes it's because of him and the consequences of his sin. He says, "I am driven away from your sight." And all we've been reading about Jonah so far is his failure and his faithlessness. But it's interesting that even in this situation, we see that Jonah is actually a true believer in the Lord. Look at the end of verse 4. "I've been driven away from your sight." But Jonah doesn't say, "It's over. I'm done." Last week we talked about how God disciplines us. And the main story of discipline throughout the scriptures is the people of Israel, God's people, as he disciplines them for their failure. And he brings suffering into their lives to try to get their attention, to try to get them to turn back to him, to try to get them to really follow him more closely so they can experience the blessings of a relationship with him. And Jonah writes a song about it here, his discipline. And the Israelites, they write songs about it in the Psalms, all throughout the Psalms. And you read the Old Testament, and there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of discipline. But the Israelites are people of God. And so there's songs you'd expect after they suffer that they'd say, they'd blame God, they'd be frustrated, they'd be angry at him. They'd sing songs like, "God, you're so mean. How could you have done this?" That's what I think when I'm suffering. That's my first thought. "God, you must be off. You must have missed something." But the Israelites see the hand of God because they're true believers and they don't go away. They don't quit. They fail. Jonah fails. But the Israelites' songs are not that at all. It's, "Oh God, you're so good. Forever you are faithful. Forever you are good. Your love endures forever. Amen. What an interesting response from people who are suffering. What an interesting response from Jonah. He finally gives the godly response, but it's there. The bottom line of his heart is faith. He's a true believer. Look at the end of verse 4. He knows as he's sinking, he says, the water is closed in over me to take my life. The waves and the billows passed over me. But even if it ends in death, he knows, yet again, I shall see your holy temple. Jonah is a true believer. He does not go away. He does not reject the Lord. He's not say, I'm never going to do it. This is my last chance. I'm done. I don't want to go, Lord. You can't make me. I'm turning away. That's not his response. He doesn't reject the Lord's discipline. Instead, he receives the Lord's discipline. Jonah's tested. And what comes out of his heart finally is the faith that was there all along. That God is looking to withdraw, to draw out, I should say. Jonah responds in faith. And have you? Have you responded in faith to the tests of your life? There's a lot of similarities between Peter and Judas. Both of them fail the Lord. But there's an important difference, is that Peter doesn't go away. And neither does Jonah. And if you're listening to this, there's still time for you to return to the Lord. He's been patient, giving you time to return. Verse 5, Jonah calls out before drowning. He says, the waters closed in over me. I was drowning. The weeds wrapped about my head. Jonah's at the bottom. He has hit bottom, both literally and spiritually. And so this time that he finally turns back in faith to the Lord, how wise we would be to not let it get to that point. If we're running from God, if we're not following his commandments, better for us to learn from Jonah's example. Jonah's gulping for air. He is dying. And it's finally that moment where his pride and his stubbornness finally give way, and Jonah turns back to the Lord in faith. And if you've ever experienced drowning, then you can see how this experience would be powerful enough to do that to even the most prideful and stubborn person. When I was a kid, we went canoeing. My mom, my dad, on the ends of the canoe, me in the middle. They put a life jacket on me that was adult size, way too big, and out we went. And we had been to this river before, and it was a very tranquil river, peaceful river. But it had rained so much in the previous days that the river was far bigger than it had been. And it still looked very peaceful, very smooth, very calm. But all of that water going around the bends of the rivers created such a current that as we came up to it, we were unprepared. And the current flipped the canoe, and it swept us under. And I remember holding on to that life vest that was far too big, being swept under me, my mother, and my father. And it swept us under a tree that had fallen from the storm, and my life jacket got caught in the tree. And my mother and father dove down to try to find me. And at one point, they both did at the same time. And even though they were just 2 feet from each other, they couldn't see each other because the water from the runoff had created such a murky, dark water that they couldn't even see the person right across from them. And my mother was on one side grabbing that life vest, pulling it, trying to free me from the tree. And my father was on the other, pulling the exact opposite direction. And they pulled and they pulled. And they got to the point where they realized if they didn't let go and go for air, that they would die. And so they had to let go. Imagine having that experience. And my mother and father went up for a breath of air, and I did not have that luxury. And I remember experiencing the realization that this is over. I'm done. And when you have that experience of drowning, there's nothing that you can do. You can't hold your breath any longer. Your body has a reaction because your body knows that it's time. And you just have a reflex and you open your mouth and you begin gulping in mouthful after mouthful of water, desperate for air. And my mother and father actually did succeed in dislodging me from the branches of the tree. And they came up and they looked at each other and they said, "Do you have them?" To each other, to which the obvious answer was no. My dad looked down the river past my mom and he saw the current taking a life jacket away. He saw the straps, the shoulder straps of the life jacket above the water. And so he swam over to it. And it was so murky, he couldn't see if I was in it or not. And he pulled up the straps of the shoulders of the life jacket. And there I was, hanging on to the bottom. And Jonah had that exact experience of being absolutely desperate and realizing that this is over. I need the Lord. Jonah was thrown over the side of the ship. He tried to survive. He swam. He fought. And he gave out. He couldn't do it anymore. And he sank to the bottom without air. And he prayed to the Lord. And actually, the fish is his deliverance. A lot of times we think that God saved Jonah from the great fish. Actually, God saved Jonah through the great fish. As you look at what Jonah's praying about and how he's being saved, he doesn't mention that, "Oh, I was swallowed by this whale and God saved me from it. It was going to eat me and kill me." No, actually, Jonah recognizes that the fish is a miraculous salvation from drowning. What Jonah mentions that he needed to be saved from was the flood, the seas, the waves, the weeds. And it's the fish that is actually the answer to his prayer. And it is an answered prayer. Verse 2, he talks about how he's called out and he sees the belly of the fish as the answer. "You saved me. I couldn't make it anymore. And this fish came along." What a miracle, Jonah says. What a miracle. And as we read in Jonah, we're reminded about answered prayer. Perhaps it feels like a long time for you since one of your prayers was answered. But Jonah reminds us that we experience immediate salvation in this life through answered prayer. And I look back at my life and I thank God that he answered my prayer and he saved me back in 1995 from drowning. He answered that prayer. I'm not going through that anymore. He delivered me. And he's answered so many prayers as I look back at it and I think of it. You know, we look back at our lives with such nostalgia and it's because God has saved us. Our life feels, "Oh, those were the good old days." But then going through them, they weren't very good. I was filled with anxiety, worry. I was wondering if I was going to make it. And the reason why I can look back and say good times was because God answered the prayers and delivered me time and time again. And how easy we forget it. And as we sit here and we worry now, is God going to move? And I look back and I thank God for all of the answered prayers and reminded of that in Jonah. I thank God I'm not going through what I did in 1995. I thank God he delivered me from what I was experiencing in 2003. I thank God I'm not suffering like I was in 2009. I thank God that I'm not up at night thinking of what I was in 2012 and 19 and whatever. And when it's 2040, I'll be able to look back and say, "Look at what God did in my life." Amen. In 2027, in 2032. What a good God we have and what amazing salvation we have in the prayers that the Lord answers. And here Jonah specifically, his answered prayer is that he needs a second chance. And do you need a second chance? When we call out in faith, the Lord will bless us with another chance that we need. Jonah needed a second chance. Peter needed a lot of chances. Peter denied Christ and denied Christ and denied Christ. He didn't need a second chance. He didn't need a third chance. Peter needed a fourth chance. But Peter called out in faith and God blessed him. And God will do the same for you. God did the same for Jonah. He's done the same for everyone. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like we need air. And Jonah's answered prayer is nothing but mercy. None of us deserve an answered prayer. It's at the mercy and love of God that he gives that to us, that he gives us these chances. And Jonah is a believer, but he needs to grow in maturity. He doesn't understand the breadth of the salvation of God and the depth of the salvation of God. So oftentimes we come to the Lord as believers and we give the Lord a part of our heart. And we think we've done it all. But what the gospel does is it goes from area of our life, an area of our life, and time of our life, an experience of our life, an area of our heart, to area of our heart, smashing the idols that are there, revealing to us that none of them were worthy of us looking to them for life or worth or value. But it's only the Lord who deserves our hearts. It's only he that is worthy of our faith, our trust. Amen. Jonah doesn't understand that the salvation that he's received applies to every area of his life, how he acts, how he listens, how he speaks, how he obeys. He thinks he can believe and just run from the Lord. I'm not going to follow that one. And the Lord catches up with him. And the Lord smashes the idols in his heart. And Jonah experiences what every believer does, of going from the gospel, going from area of their heart to area of their heart, of repenting, of growing in faith. Jonah grows in the experience, in his faith, in the suffering of being thrown over the side and eaten by the whale. And you will too. And we'll go from glory to glory to glory as we're transformed to be more like Jesus Christ. There are so many idols. And Jonah, interestingly enough, mentions idolatry. Even though he wasn't worshiping, we have no record of him worshiping any literal physical idols. He does mention idolatry. Verse 7, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And Jonah had an idol. He didn't want to go to the enemies of Israel who were violent and wicked and risk his life and his safety for their benefit. He didn't want to do that. He didn't love them. He didn't even want to see them saved. He wanted to see them judged. Jonah had a lot of different idols in his life. Revenge. Safety. Jonah ran so that he could be safe from these people. And what idol did the Lord smash and remove? He ran so that he could be safe, and the Lord removed his safety. We can have idols of many things, even noble things, even good things can become idols and take the place of God in our life, which is not good. We can have idols of our career, we have idols of money, idols of our social standing, idols of people we love, our family, our children. The more noble the idol, oftentimes the more deceptive it is. And God has a way of removing those idols. I remember hearing the testimony of someone, they were a health nut. It was all about health. They guarded their health so vigilantly with such care. They studied all the right things to eat, all the right ways to exercise, all the right minerals, vitamins, and everything. And what did they lose? Their health. Even though they had done all the right things, God removed that. Remind them that they aren't self-sufficient. None of us are self-sufficient. There's never a moment that we're not dependent on anything but God's mercy for our very existence, for our spiritual salvation. God will remind us of that. God will remind us that our idols can't fulfill us, that it's only the Lord, and we need him. We need him like we need our next breath. How many of us, I have six beautiful kids. How many of us idolize our children, our family? We try to raise our kids completely the right way, and what so often happens? We raise our kids to make all the right decisions, and what so often happens? And we have to turn back to the Lord and trust in him. So often we'll idolize our career, but at some point, we'll be forced to retire, even if we don't want to. We'll idolize our money, but we can't take it with us. God has a way of smashing idols so that our rebellious, idolatrous hearts turn back to him. And we remember his salvation and experience that. Jonah experiences it. He turns back from his idols. He repents, but he also experiences the forgiveness, the salvation of the Lord. His physical salvation reminds him of his spiritual need and condition before God. He's talking about his physical salvation. My life, I was drowning. Physically, I was saved. But he gets to verse 9, and there's a dual meaning here for sure. What I have vowed, I will pay, and salvation, capital S, salvation belongs to the Lord. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Jonah worships the Lord. I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. This is Old Testament speak, for I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment and recommit my life because the Lord has saved me. He saved me with his answered prayer, but it's reminded Jonah of the salvation he received ultimately in the Lord of his soul and eternal life he's been given. Everybody in the book of Jonah gets saved. The sailors get saved. They get saved from the storm, but ultimately they get saved with eternal life. They start worshiping the Lord. They come to know Yahweh. And they vow to continue to follow him. They've been saved. The people of Nineveh get saved. They get saved from the Lord's wrath in chapter 3, verse 8. But ultimately what they get saved from is eternal damnation in hell. And they receive eternal life. They're saved. And Jonah, he is saved from the water. He's saved from drowning. But it reminds him of the salvation of his soul. And Jonah worships. Jonah celebrates. And that's why we're here today. That's what a church is. That's what a church does. He called my name and I ran out of the grave. Forgiven, forever I'm free. Come join the song of the redeemed. That's what we've been doing this morning. We've been saved.
Hallelujah.
And the church is assured of that salvation, and they sing to the Lord with that assurance and that celebration. And are you able to join them? Maybe you're like Jonah, a believer who committed his life to Christ but has grown spiritually stagnant. You hear the people around you singing. You've forgotten what it's about. Maybe you don't feel like you can join in with assurance and participate in the celebration. Maybe you've never experienced it. The witness of Jonah is that you can. Jonah's experience, I've been saved, he says. And he praises the Lord and worships. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. If you've gotten comfortable, if you've gotten stagnant, if you've gotten complacent, if you've given up hope, that you can be assured, you should know that the Bible was written so that you can have that assurance. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. There's a song called Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Here Jonah celebrates. God has got a plan to use this. There's something missing in Jonah's life. Before this, we don't read about him worshiping. We don't read about him having this passion for the Lord, this desire to worship, this celebration. And yet God has had a plan to bring this joy into Jonah's life. And God doesn't just have a plan for Jonah. He's got a plan to do the same for you. And so if you don't have that assurance, keep seeking. It's a part of God's plan and his desire for you. Keep seeking. Make that the sole focus and aim of your life. Seek it until you find it, because it's what this life is all about. And it is worth it. Should Christians really believe that God saved Jonah?
Yes.
The answer is absolutely yes. And God is so powerful, saving somebody through the miracle of a fish is nothing to him. If you can believe in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, then you can believe in any of the miracles of the Bible. For a God who is so big that he created this earth, the whole world, the heavens, and all that is in it, saving somebody with a great fish and doing the possible is nothing for him. God has so much more power than merely saving somebody from a fish or saving somebody through a fish. God has that power for Jonah. And the Bible reminds us that. And it's not just Jonah that God loves. God has that power for you. Should Christians believe that Jonah, God really saved Jonah with this miracle? Yes. And Christians should believe more, so much more. We should believe that God will save us and that he has the power to do so. And Jesus gives us that assurance himself that we should believe in this miracle of Jonah and also that miracle of his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And Jesus compares the reality of his resurrection to the reality of the miracle of Jonah being in the fish. What a strange comparison to talk about the reality that's coming of your real resurrection and compare it to a legend that never happened. Just as this legend never happened, so then will my real resurrection happen? I assure you of it. That doesn't fit. And so Jesus is looking to assure them of the reality, the sign they're going to get, that the Lord saves. His resurrection. And he says, it's happening. And he compares it to a miracle that they knew and believed and said, just as you had seen this miracle, there's something greater that's coming. And then in verse 41 of chapter 12, behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And should Christians believe it? Yes. We should believe that God really saved Jonah through this miracle. We should believe that God will really save us. And we have assurance that he will because God really raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. And here we read and we are reminded that we need Jesus constantly like we need air. We need his salvation. We need his immediate salvation and answered prayer. And the believer in Jesus never gives up. If we've given up on Jesus, we've given up too soon. Because even if it is our time, even if we go down like Jonah in the grave, the believer says, if this is it, if I'm done, the truth is that yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. For the promise of the Lord is that even if our life does end in death, we'll be right back. We will rise from the grave. That is his promise. Believers know that this is no legend, that it's a miracle, and that the Lord has that same type of miracle in store for us. Ultimate salvation comes with the Lord's return. And this week, as we look to just apply Jonah to our lives, we either seek the Lord and seek him until we've got assurance and we can celebrate our salvation like Jonah. Or we are reminded of what the Lord has done for us. And we worship and celebrate. And let's just go this week and celebrate the Lord.